Have you ever read something in the Bible that you were just so confused at the end of the chapter or the verse or whatever? You were just totally lost and confused. That is exactly how I felt when I read this particular scripture years ago. I was so confused and you know, I just had to figure it out. If you're anything like me, you'll have to read something in the Bible, be like, what the heck is he trying to say? I don't understand this. And you just have to figure it out. That is so me. And so today I'm going to hopefully read through these verses and explain more what Jesus was doing behind the scenes. So if you turn to Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28, we'll read this and unpack it a little. In verse 21, that's where I'm going to start. It says, "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' She said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed instantly." Now, first time I read this years ago, I was like, why in the world would Jesus ever call a woman a dog? First of all, why would he ever even ignore somebody? And what is going on? And I looked it up and prayed a lot about it, and this is kind of what I came up with. So if you look at verse 21, we can kind of skip that one because that's just him traveling. But 22 says, a Canaanite woman came out and cried, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Now, Canaanites were kind of against Israelite, or not against, but they had years of offenses towards each other. But she doesn't really know anything about Jesus. She was a pagan, but she attempts there to call him Lord and Son of David, which is referring to like Jewish background. So she's trying to call him out with respect and trying to, I guess, familiarize herself with him. But she really doesn't quite understand anything. She doesn't really know what she's talking about. And she's heard of Jesus before. She's heard of the miracles that he's done. But again, she's been a pagan her whole life. But man, this woman must be desperate. I mean, she is leaving her own religion. She's fully acting on what she's heard from other people. But she is that desperate enough to get her daughter healed. And so she is kind of at her wit's end, and is running so desperately to Jesus, who she believes can heal her daughter. And also that, you know, she's a woman and she's putting herself out in front of all these men who she might be afraid of their judgment on her for being a Canaanite woman. But again, she's just desperate. But imagine walking to a room full of people who you knew didn't like you. It just takes serious guts, and she means serious business. And I hope so. I hope my mom would want me to be healed as well. But just her confidence there was striking to me. If you look at verse 23, it says, "But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she's crying out for us.'" Wow, he didn't answer her a word. And I just want to know with that, have you ever felt ignored by God? And it says he didn't answer her, but it doesn't say that he never listened to her. It doesn't say that he didn't listen. And let me first say that God doesn't have to answer you. In fact, you may ask him things your whole life and never receive an answer, but I guarantee you 100% he hears you. You are listened to, but we are not guaranteed an answer. We aren't entitled to that. And if you look back at a verse in John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that we may ask him anything according to his will, and he hears us." But some of us get offended by that, feeling ignored by God. And Lord, if you read this Bible, Jesus knows how to offend people. And today, especially today, I feel like everyone in the world is offended by something, if not everything. But the truth, especially the truth that Jesus gives people or gives you, can offend you. I mean, the truth hurts sometimes. And sometimes we misjudge or misinterpret what God is really trying to teach us in those moments where we feel offended by him. And two, this woman, you know, she's got these men kind of ganging up on her saying, "You're annoying, basically, and you're insignificant. Let's walk away from this, Jesus. We're wasting time." And wow, just how unimportant, unwanted, and insignificant she must have felt in those moments. But he answered her in verse 24. He answered, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He's basically saying, you know, you're a Gentile, but my duty and mission is to the Jews. And have you ever felt like that as well? Does it ever seem that God will not hear your prayers because we're too caught up in sin? We feel unworthy or insignificant? But what Jesus is really doing right now is testing her. He's seeing, you know, what's in her heart. Is it pride? Selfishness? Is she humble? How's she going to respond to my silence? And how's she going to respond to this offense? He really wants to see her intentions behind her asking or really begging him for this. So in verse 25, she replies. She knelt before him saying, "Lord, help me." So then it changes from "help my daughter" to "Lord, help me." And what she's doing there, she's humbling herself. She realizes it's way deeper than what she was originally asking. She kneels in worship. Whenever you kneel, you are saying that whoever you're kneeling to has power. It is a form of worship when you are on your knees. You're kneeled before him. She knew that he had authority. And she knows that she's unworthy. She knows that she needs help. And she is persistent, though. She kneels before him and asks him to help her. In verse 26, he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." So again, she's begging, even falls on her knees and asks a different, deeper question. And Jesus responds like this. And Jews frequently were insulted, Jews frequently insulted Gentiles by calling them dogs. But Jesus used the word dog as in like pet in the language that he was using. He's saying pet. It's a more affectionate term. He's not insulting her, but he's testing her yet again. Testing. In verse 27, she replies, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She's saying, you know, "Lord, I know what you say of me is true. I know I don't deserve this. But if I could even have a scrap of your love and grace, that's enough for me. You know, your leftovers are enough for me." She's persistent. She is really humbling herself and saying, "Lord, if I could just have this much of you, this much of your grace and love, that is more than enough for me. I know I don't deserve it." And verse 28, he says, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. So boom, we see this miracle happen. She believed it. I mean, I don't think her daughter was right there beside her, but she believed in him. She believed that her daughter was healed in that moment. But also, it wasn't just a miracle of her daughter being healed or that he answered her or anything, but that Jesus had changed her life, that it was something way bigger and way more than she came originally intentional asking him. She had to become less and less so that Jesus could become more in her. I'm going to say that again. She had to become less and less so Jesus could become more in her. She had the strength and the perseverance even during the middle of rejection and insignificance. I mean, everything that she was tempted to just walk away or be mad about or not believe, she persevered and she was persistent in those moments. And I just think that is something to be admired. And that's something that Jesus wanted to teach her and change her life. And that's something that Jesus wanted to show his disciples. And a little side note, I just wanted to say that, you know, God isn't some genie. You know, we don't just come to him just because we want things. We don't come to him just because we want to ask him things. We want to know all the answers. We want to understand everything. Like, that's just not right. That's not who he is. He's not a genie. He's not just going to answer every question and or give you everything that you want. God is relational God. He wants relationship with you, and that's all we really, really need. But he is happy to answer us, but he's only going to answer us when his timing's right, or he's only going to answer us if it's good for us and it's what he has planned for us, because God knows best and he supplies and meets all of our needs. It just might not be in the way that you think. So some takeaways from this passage is, I think this teaches us how to pray, and it reveals what's really in our hearts and reveals our intentions behind things. So I've put like a list of 6 things we can, you know, I guess approach prayer with. If you're a writer, you can write this down in your journal. Number 1, we need to approach prayer with humility. We need to become humble, and we need to admit our wrongs and know our place. And if you don't know how to really be humble, you can ask the Lord to humble you. Number 2, faith. You know, we need to have faith that God's going to answer what's good for us. Again, it might not be what we expect, but we have faith that God is listening to us and that he will answer according to his will. Number 3, we need to approach it with modesty. This Canaanite woman, she admits her own misery, and she leaves, you know, the question of, are you going to heal my daughter, up to him. You know, at first she was saying, heal her, heal my daughter, but then she said, help me. And just with modesty, she admits her own misery and lets him decide if he's going to heal her daughter or not. Number 4, devotion. You know, she kneels, she's persistent, she is fully devoted to him. I mean, she went as far as she can go to show him that, hey, I believe in you, and I know I don't deserve this, but I'm devoted to this. Number 5, confidence. We need to have confidence in God. And even though this Canaanite woman was a Gentile, she hoped sternly that he'd listen. And we need to have that confidence that he is listening, because he is. And he cares for you and he wants the best for you. It's just sometimes we just don't always understand. And number 6, finally, is perseverance, which I've said that a lot. But she fought and fought back after feeling rejected or feeling whatever she was feeling. She was persistent and she persevered. And sometimes it's really hard to persevere, but I mean, every person who goes through perseverance comes out a stronger person. It's not always that we persevere to get something, because sometimes when we persevere and we don't get it, we still become a stronger person for persevering in the first place. So just come to prayer with perseverance and persistence, and really just those 6 steps can help your prayer life tremendously. And just realizing that God is a relational God and he cares way deeper for you and your heart than he does any request that you could want. So I just hope you take this today and you're encouraged and you're motivated and you believe that, you know, God is really listening to you and he wants to hear what you want. He wants to know the desires of your heart and care for you deeply. So thank you so much for listening, and I just encourage you to go pray now.